for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 6th, 1992. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is tape one of two tapes of the evening service.
Beyond, Lord, that he's ever had. I pray that you would make him a minister through this medium of piano and playing. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that it will be a healing for him, Lord, as he sets to play and as he sets to minister to the Lord. You minister to him, Lord, I pray. And from the innermost part of his being shall come a renewal. And God, we just pray you'd drive out all the forces of the darkness that has tried to, God, attach itself to him and bring a healing. And God, his better days are before him in the name of Jesus. As he goes forth, many shall be blessed by his music in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We love you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Rabasandria Bashandria Basti, La 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 Bacondria Basti, Hilandria Basso, Rabasso, Rabashindria Basti, Hilandria Basso, Rabasandria Basandria Basandria, Hilandria Basandria Mashandria Masandria. He said unto you, son, he said, the song that you just played near to the heart of God is the testament I have towards you. My thoughts towards you and my words towards you have been nothing but love. And I have placed a special shaft over you of my love. And when people come around that and come around you, there's like an aura, and they can step into that and feel a new anointing and a revelation of the love of God. And God wants to impart that into you even stronger and stronger and stronger. And the word Walter Fletcher preached today over the irons that bit into the soul of Joseph, those irons of bitterness, at many, many times, those same irons bit into your soul from the things of the past. And things that you went through and the sin of the past. But God, Joseph had a son called Manasseh because the Lord has caused him to forget. And then he had a son Ephraim that he said he's made him fruitful in the land of his affliction. And he said, I'm going to do the same to you, but you have not yet seen the fruitfulness of Ephraim. And it's going to come to pass and it's going to blossom more and more and more. It's going to be on the left and on the right. And there's still a little bit of heartache in you. And you say, God, 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 I can't get rid of it all. I can't get rid of. And God said, I am going to pluck it out by the roots. And no longer are you going to suffer this in the name of Jesus. And it's been the cry of your heart. And many times you didn't tell a soul. You didn't tell a word. You didn't say nothing to nobody. But a torment came to you right, but it was a torment from Satan. But I saw the cry of your heart and that your heart was towards me and not away from me. And I am going to do this thing because you stood the pressure of Satan. And my hand is upon you. And a special love and a special anointing is going to come. And when people step into the waters, like into that pool after 38 years, the house of Bethesda, that means mercy. You've been in the troubled waters, but you jumped into the pool of mercy of my name. And I'm going to do it for you. And not only that, I'm going to use you to break that bondage of iron in the soul of other people. So don't fret. I'm going to give you that new revelation that you've been desiring, you've been crying out for in the night hours in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Father, it's a great privilege this evening to come and to give you praise and worship and to declare that Jesus is Lord of our lives. We thank you for your wonderful presence, your word that has come forth already this day that touched the hearts and lives of many here in this place. We thank you for the word that's coming, will come forth yet tonight, that will touch yet many more lives before we turn the lights out in this place tonight. But it's a privilege, Father, to come this evening as priest of this place, bring the finances that you've given into our hands from these thy people for the support of the ministries that are ministering here and the support and the care of this campground. And Father, I thank you for the privilege you've given me to be the steward of this place. Help me, Lord, to be faithful with that which you've given me to do, that I shall see the fulfillment of that which I have seen before me and that which has been promised unto me. I thank you for it, Father, and I praise you for it. Now, Father, as the priest of this place, sir, I come again this evening, and I bring the finances of today and the finances in my hands this evening, and I lift it up, present it unto you, Jesus, who is the high priest of our profession, and the high priest of the calling that's upon us. Sir. And I thank you for the privilege that you've given us, together this evening, the privilege I have to do this. And I thank you, Jesus, for presenting it as a sweet savor upon the altar before the throne. Father, I thank you for receiving it from these thy people as a sweet savor and a gift unto thee for the furtherance of the gospel of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as I take it and I become the steward over it and responsible for it, I take dominion over these finances and I bind them to the kingdom of the living God that they shall be used for nothing but the necessities of life and the furtherance of the Lord Jesus Christ as long as this type of finances is used. That they shall multiply again and again and again and again and again and again and again, many times over, for the kingdom's sake. As long as this type of finances is used, I decree that they shall do that. And I thank you for it. Now, Father, I thank you for your blessing upon these thy people. I pray your protection and care over them as they travel to go their separate ways. The angel of the Lord shall travel with them, and the joy of the Lord shall be their portion. And I bless them, and I pray Abraham's blessings upon them. Father, and I bind every curse that would come against their finances, come against them spiritually or financially, come against their businesses. I take dominion over it, and I break every word that's been spoken against them, and I cause it to come unto naught in Jesus' name. And I loose the financial blessings of the Lord upon them in health and strength and prosperity, Father, that they shall be able to bless many times over the kingdom of the living God with finances, not only for this place, but for other places across the nation and the nations of the earth. As you lay on their hearts, Father, where to do and what to do with the finances that you put into their hands. And I bless it, Father, and I bless them. And I thank you for the privilege. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated.
We have a glorious warfare prayer and intercession for the nation. Come on, stand up and do warfare. Stand up.
We pull down the stronghold. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bind you loose from the United States of America. You made it to be loose from this nation. Oh, hallelujah, the powers and principalities, demonic forces will come forth in the name of Jesus. Be bound in the name of Jesus. We'll be bound in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, right now we put up a protection against our president, the president of the United States of America, and around his family and around our vice president. I said that a hedge of thorns, a ring of fire, and the blood of Jesus is up on them. Nothing can touch them. Anything ungodly that would come against them, every wicked force, every word curse that has cursed them, that has come against them. And Lord, we come against high powers, men in high places that's going to try to place and play checkers with our men. God, don't let it happen in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We want your will, not our will. Lord, we want the will of the living God upon America. And I thank you, Father, that you are bringing it to pass as we stand joining together, praying for America in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord God. Scripture says whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, harmonizing in my spirit, whatever you ask, whenever you agree touching anything, you'll have what you ask for. And whatever you bind on this earth shall be bound in the heavens, and whatever you loose on this earth shall be loosened in the heavens. Lord, I stand here tonight, Lord, and I bind the spiritual counselors. As David said, bind the spiritual counsel of Athiel to Absalom. Yesterday we stand and we bind the spiritual counselors, those spirit guides, confusion to them in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak confusion to his spiritual guides in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak confusion to his spiritual counselors in the name of Jesus. The spirits of the new age that are guiding him, the spirit guides, we bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak confusion to them. Their counsel shall be confusion in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak confusion in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord God. We confuse his wise counsels, Lord God. Confuse them and let them give him confusing counsel, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Against the darkness that is about thee, to let the light of God be shown in this land. I have raised up this land, saith the Lord, and I'm depending upon my people, saith the Lord, to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and do that which I have called them to do. Do not back down, my children, in the shadows, but walk out with boldness and declare the glory of my name and call upon my name, for I will answer. I will come to your rescue, but I'm waiting for you right now to stand forth and declare and speak forth the truth. Let the truth be known in the land, and I shall come to thee, and I shall raise thee up, and I shall cause thee to stand and to continue. For the time has not come to quit, but the time has come to continue. And there are many souls that need to be saved. I've raised this land up to carry the gospel around the world. The devil wants to bring it down so the light will not shine. But I tell you tonight, my friend and my children, I call you my friend. I call you my friend because you are close to my heart. And tonight I declare unto thee that if the gospel is to continue to be preached, this nation must stand. You must stand in the gap, and may it be your prayers that bring it to pass. Amen.
I just heard what I feel to be an absolute manifestation of the gift of prophecy. And I think we need to respond to that. And the Lord said he wants you to pray. He wants you to pray to bind up the spiritual force, to bind the spirits of the new age, the wise counsels and spirit guides that are guiding the new age, the spirit of deception that is deceiving this public. You must bind and stand against it every day. The Lord has called you to battle this day. He has called you to warfare. He has called you to warfare. He has called you not for just a night, but he's called you to stand in the gap on a daily basis. He called you to stand. And I say unto you, the curse of Moriah will be upon you if you stand not. You look into your Bibles, into Judges 3. There was a time... Judges chapter 5, I'm sorry.
There was a time that Israel was called to war, and all of Israel went except one area. It was the town of Meroz, M-E-R-O-Z. And the angel of the Lord, which was the angel who was associated with the incarnate Jesus Christ. And he said, "Curse Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse its inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty." The Lord has called you this night. He has called you this night to warfare. And I say to you, do not do the work of the God negligently. Let's look at Jeremiah 48:10. It says, "Cursed be he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully or negligently." Do not be negligent in what he has called you to do. "Cursed be he who keeps back his sword from blood." The Lord has called you to warfare. He's called you to stand in the gap against the tide, against this tide of the new age that would engulf our nation. He's called you, and he says, "Stand and bind them." He has called you forth, people. Be not negligent, for there's a price you pay if you are negligent. Brother Glenn has talked to you about the curses. The Lord has called each and every one of you in his hearing by prophecy. It says, despise, the Bible says, despise not prophecy. This is serious, people. This is serious. I'm speaking to you. I'm standing here, and I'm speaking on the anointing of the God Almighty. And he says to you, "My people, I have called you. I have called you to battle. I have called you forth. I've issued the call. I've blown the trumpet. Answer me. Stand in your prayer closets daily and bind these spiritual forces that would bring my nation to deception, would bring down my nation into the dust. Stand in the gap, for yea, I have looked, and they are those who are standing. Yea, I call you to stand forth and to stand in the gap, that my will might come to pass, that my gospel might be spread, that my people might come to repentance, saith the Lord." That's all I can say, people. I stand here with tears in my heart for those of you who are looking at me and saying, "Are you real?" Yes, I'm real, and I'm being very real to you. And I tell you by the word of the Lord that he has called each and every soul in this house to stand in warfare for him. Do it not negligently. Do it as often as you can. When you stand at work, pray. When you go down the road, when you get up in the morning, when you go down the road, when you lie down at night, do it. Pray in the Spirit. Bind the evil forces. Speak confusion to the Spirit guide counselors in the name of Jesus, and it'll come to pass. And you'll see it come to pass, and you will be part of it. And God blesses those people who are obedient to him. He pours out his blessings on the people that are obedient to him. Be obedient, people. The reason from coming down here is, number one, is to glorify God, for which you were created in his image. Number two is to be obedient to his word, to be obedient that you might be a child of God. And number three is to bear fruit unto his name, that you might, that by which he might be glorified. Bear fruit this day. Stand in the gap. Be obedient, saith the Lord.
Father, I come to bring the children of this nation before you. They're the ones that have to bear. I pray for my grandchildren, Lord. God, I lift him up. God, it's these young lives, Lord, innocently coming into the world, Lord, not realizing and knowing what these things are, and we have to stand in for them, Lord. Lord, and I stand here, and this group stands in the gap, makes up the hedge for our children and our grandchildren. Oh, God, we bear them up before you. Save our nation in behalf of our children in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for the Christian school teachers. God, that have to teach
in the face of all this darkness and all of this corruption that's coming into the public schools, Lord. Make them lights in a darkened place, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, these who mold the lives of these children. God, there's a host across this nation who have not bowed their knee to Baal, who stand in the place of God of public eye. God, they're being ridiculed and criticized and put down. But God, I pray for them right now that you will encourage them, Lord, as they stand daily before these classrooms. The Spirit of God will be upon them, and the radiance of the essence of their lives will be a testimony to thousands of young lives, to thousands of children across this nation. God, break through in our public schools. God, break through. I pray for revival. I pray for those, God, you've raised up, like the Reavers, God, and others, who are able to go into these public schools and to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God, we pray for the Christian schools as well, Lord. God, that there will be a revival. Use these Christian schools as a catalyst, Lord, of revival. God, I thank you for raising up this ministry. And God, we just lift up the children. God, you have told us to pray and bear our children up before you. So tonight we're bearing them up before the throne of grace. Father, save our children in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The destiny of a nation is being changed tonight. It is being changed. Isaiah 41 and 15 says, "Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. And thou shalt thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. And thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. And the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and thou shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel." Jeremiah 51 and 20 says, "Thou, O Israel, art my battle axe and weapon of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider." That is what God is calling us to. We're God's battle axe. And the verse that I read the other day, I don't even remember when it was, yesterday or day before, yesterday, when I talked or when, but anyway, I read it and it's been quoted twice already here tonight. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap for me, for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." We declare tonight that God's going to find men and women who will stand and are standing in the gap for the land. Not be destroyed, but it shall return to a glory that it is greater than the glory that it knew in its beginning. We declare that. In Ezekiel chapter 9, we find that God says that he cried in Ezekiel's ear. He says, "And he cried in mine ear with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the church to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came." We've heard 666 all of our lives. "Six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man had a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen with a writer's inkhorn by his side. They went in and stood before the brazen altar, a place of judgment." They went and stood before the place of God's judgment. "And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherubim, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, of the church, through the midst of Jerusalem, through the church. Set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, the women, the boys, and the girls, but sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst of the church. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go you after him through the city, and smite and let your eyes spare not, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maid and little children and women, but come not near any man, woman, boy, or girl, upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary, begin at the household of faith, and fill the courts with the slain, and go ye forth. And they went forth, and they slew in the city and in the church. And it came, those who professed to be, it's an abomination to God. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon the church? Then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. And the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense my ways upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, with the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me. And I believe that that is taking place across the nation and the nations of the earth at this very moment, that God is sealing those in the forehead that are sighing and crying for the abominations that are in the house of Israel. There's a strange phrase in that ninth verse, and it won't mean much to some of you. It'll mean a lot to some of the rest of you. But it says, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah. You figure out why there's a difference. But there's a difference. And God specifies it right there. But God says to those who sigh and cry for the abominations of the house of Israel and Judah, that they're marked with a mark in their forehead. And if you're an intercessor crying out for the church and for our nation, God says that you have no need to even consider or think for the mark of the beast. That is immaterial to you. And whether that ever takes place, as we have been taught by tradition, I do not know. It may or it may not, in my opinion. But if you're an intercessor and you're sealed with God's mark in your forehead, you have no concern. Your concern is to sigh and cry and hide in your closet and cry out for the household of faith and for the nation, that God will be merciful upon us. God tells us over in the book of Revelation, so I'm not going to take time to go over there, but there are 8 promises to the overcomer. And the overcomer is he who sighs and cries for the abominations in the household of faith that's marked with the mark of God, but by the man clothed with linen in their forehead, they are the overcomers. So if you want to be an overcomer and receive the 8 promises that God has given to the overcomer, then you become an intercessor. You sigh and cry and have a closet to cry in, pray on the job, pray as you wash dishes, pray as you clean the house, to pray continuously, for God says that he'll hear our prayers that are made in this place or wherever that place is, and he'll answer them. And we have in our hands tonight the destiny of a nation, and others who are doing likewise as we are doing here tonight. We hold in our hands the destiny of this nation that God has raised up to be a light to the world, and we are a light to the world. But Satan's trying to put it out. And we're going to stand and declare that the light will not go out, but it'll go brighter and brighter and brighter to that day of his coming, when he shall come with the archangels and with those who are in the balcony of heaven looking on, waiting to the day when they too can enter in again into the fray and into the fight. Says the spirits of just men made perfect are waiting until we can enter, because they can't be made perfect without us. They're waiting and they're cheering and they're saying, come on, folks, get with it. Come on, get with it. So we can come and join you. Instead of them going away, they're waiting to come and join us. But you know, they talk about, you've heard about sonship. Some of you have heard, I don't want nothing to do with that sonship stuff. Well, I'll tell you, every place there's something that's wrong, there's also the truth. Satan raises up
something to cause the true to look like there's something wrong with it.
So let me tell you,
maybe just for the record's sake, I should record here. I'm not going to read them, but I will record so you can look them up. These 8 promises that God gives to the overcomer. It starts in Revelation chapter 2, and the first one is in the 7th verse. The second one is in the 11th verse. The third one is in the 17th verse. The fourth one is in the 26th verse. The fifth one is in the 5th verse of chapter 3. The sixth one is in the 12th verse of chapter 3. The 7th one is in the 21st verse of chapter 3. And the 8th one is the glorious one that caps it all and declares the doctrine or the statement or whatever you want to call it of sonship. There is a verse that says, to him that overcometh to be my son. But here, in the 21st chapter of Revelation and the 7th verse. Well, I got to read the 6th verse. Said, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. And to him that overcometh, he shall inherit all things. That's glory. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son and my daughter. The fullness of the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. And we have the privilege, if we so desire, to be part of that company, of overcoming. Do you desire to be one of those? Then become an intercessor. And sigh and cry for the abominations that's in the household of faith. Stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Declare that Jesus Christ, he is Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Bloomquist.
Jesus Christ is good news. The Word of God is good news. The Word of the Lord is good news. And the Lord has good news for you. Good news. As the cries come forth concerning our nation, the Spirit of God began to speak to my heart. But the Lord will give us that opportunity to rebuild our nation. And the body of Christ has been very concerned about the polls, what percent this candidate has, what percent that candidate has. The Spirit of God has spoken to my heart that in the short days that are ahead, that you'll begin to see the power of God begin to prevail. We will not need to call any candidate names because our faith and our trust and our reliance is upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And the Spirit of the living God has heard what has gone on here tonight and has repeated many, many, many times across this land. And he will give us a second opportunity where we can rebuild our nation. And as Ezra was taking a remnant Babylon back to rebuild the seeming destruction of Jerusalem. In man's eyes, Jerusalem was destroyed and needed to be rebuilt. But in the eyes of the living God, Jerusalem was already rebuilt. And as Ezra camped alongside the river Ahava, that he cried out to God, show us the straight and the right way so that we and our children and our possessions can be preserved. God hears our heart. He hears our cry. And the words that were spoken here tonight by the prophetic unction, standing in the gap, praying, not letting go, and that there's a challenge that is coming to each one of us. We don't need to be afraid to pray for our nation. We don't need to be afraid to fast for our nation. Because it's ourselves and our children and our possessions, the things that God has given to us, that we want to see preserved. You prayed for our children, grandchildren. We pray for them too. And I want to share with you here tonight, and I say to this by the Spirit of God, that we will have this second opportunity to rebuild our nation. And that is good news. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, Gene and I are very blessed to be here with you this evening. This is our first camp meeting. This is not our first time to Lake Hamilton Campground, but this is our first time to participate in a camp meeting such as this. We've been acquainted with Lake Hamilton for a number of years, and somehow or another, apparently it was just not God's timing that we'd be here, but this is the time of the Lord. And that in June, my wife and I traveled up here because really felt in my heart, and even the leaders of our church, that it was to be a time of refreshing for me and for my wife and for the church. And so we came and we spent 2 or 3 days here, and we were blessed. And appreciate the ministry here so very much. I've always received deliverance, didn't practice it, but still received it. And, you know, we receive a lot of things, but we don't practice a lot of things. And so we miss out on so many blessings from God because all we do is receive it and we don't do anything with it. My wife and I came into the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I guess it's almost 20 years ago. And that we cut our teeth on Derek Prince. And if you cut your teeth on Derek Prince, well, you're going to be hearing about deliverance, among other things. And so we'd come home from church on Sundays and put in a Derek Prince tape in our cassette, and we'd have a group of people. And oh, boy, you know, things were just really wonderful, and things were good, and that we just enjoyed it all. And so we were not afraid of deliverance. My wife and I come out of the Presbyterian church, and, of course, if you haven't been taught anything, well, you don't have to learn anything. And so this is the way it is in the denominational churches so many times. You don't learn much. So when you become a charismatic or a Pentecostal, however you want to identify yourself, or as a spirit-filled believer, is that you don't have to unlearn a whole lot of things. And so we just moved right on into a number of things. Some things I rejected because of my own ignorance or my own stubbornness, my own pride, this kind of thing. But nevertheless, in June, that came and received some deliverance, and that enjoyed it and appreciated it so much, and gave the report to the church. And one of our elders and his wife is with us here for this conference, and we'll be taking this back. And we just trust and hope and believe that the rest of our elders and leadership will find their way here, and so that we can all learn together, because I believe it's important that for the eldership, have their hearts beat together so we can do the things that God has for us. And so it's a privilege being here with you tonight and to share the Word of God. And what a wonderful blessing it is to see Don and Janine Bonner here, that they're residents of Hot Springs now and friends of this ministry here, is that Don and I were elders together for a number of years at an excellent church in Anchorage, Alaska, where we sort of cut our teeth on things charismatic and being elders. And so I appreciate Don and Janine Bonner very, very much. And that they were with us when the ministry that God gave us was birthed. And so, you know, we grow up, don't we?
And I just trust that I'm a little further along in 1992 than I was in 1972. The Lord is good, isn't he? Amen. The Lord is good. And the Spirit of the Lord will say to his people that you are a people of this generation. And this is a generation of the outpouring of my Holy Spirit. And I have given you my Holy Spirit in a good and a full and a complete measure. As I have given you that which I have in a full measure, I desire that you receive it with the full measure in which I have given it to you. And my people, you are as the children of the Most High God. And as you are the sons and the daughters of the Lord, there are the very many precious promises that I have given to you. And I desire that you know the promises of God concerning you. And as you know these promises, and as you believe these promises, and as you live with these promises that I have given you, is that you shall see a transformation. There shall be that conformation, and there shall be as that portion that shall be given to you, and you shall know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he shall become in that increasing way the Lord of your life, and you shall be as transformed and even conformed into the likeness and into the image of my dear Son. And he is my Son, and as he is my Son, so are you the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And I have given him to you, and he is as that good example to you. And I desire that you follow that good example. And as you are, and as you become that good example, then so shall you be as good examples for others. And you shall live this life as unto the Lord. And as you live this life that I have given you, as you live it unto the Lord, yet you shall be as my witnesses, and I call you my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, and you shall do that work. You shall do the good work. You shall do the perfecting work. You shall do the holy work. You shall do that work which I established for you to do. And I say to you, my people, is that do not be as a people that desire to go your own way. Be as a people that desire to go in the ways that your Lord and your God has established for you. There are many of you, even in this room, there are many of you, even in the hearing of this voice, is that you have purposed and you have determined and you have made that decision to go your way. And I speak and I say to you, is that why do you go your way? Because it does not lead to the path of the fullness of life. But your way will lead down that path of destruction and even despair. And I come to you even this day to retrieve and to cause you to know that there is that new way. There is that living way. There is that way of the Lord that I desire that you go. Do not let the very pride of life, do not let the stubbornness of the spirit, and do not let the affairs of this day cause you, my sons, cause you, my daughters, to go in a way that I have not established for you. My promises are the way that I desire that you go. My promises are full of life. My promises are yes. My promises are amen. And I am doing a good work in the earth today. I am doing a good work, but I desire that the good work first begin in you. And I speak and I say to you, allow yourself to have the good work to begin within you, even in that increased way, in these days that are ahead. I speak and I say these things to you because I have the heart of the Father toward you. I have the love of the Father toward you. No good thing will I withhold from you as you walk uprightly with your Lord and your God. There are those of you that you see the beams in other people's eyes, the motes in other people's eyes.
But I say to you is that look to yourself. Look to yourself. Look to yourself. And do not deny the things of the Lord. And even as I ask Peter, do you love me? I speak and I say to you even this night, my sons, my daughters, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And as you declare to yourself and as you declare to the Lord, and even as you declare to one another that you love me, then you shall be as a people that are about the business of the Father. There are those of you that are about the business of this world. There are those of you that are about the business of the enemy. There are those of you that are about your own business. But I speak and I say to you, is that be about the business of the Father. And as my son Jesus, he said those things that his Father told him to say. And he did those things that the Father told him to do. This is as that generation of where my people shall do those things that I tell them to do. And it shall be as my people that say those things that I tell them to say. Because by my Holy Spirit, I have given you revelation, godly revelation. This is as the spirit of revelation that comes to you. My people, I say to you that I love you with everlasting love. The love that I have for you shall not perish. It shall not diminish. It shall not be diluted. There shall be no mixture of the love that I have for you. And as I give you pure love from the heart of the Father, I desire to receive pure love from you. Do not let your love toward me be diluted. Do not let your love toward me be as a mixture. But examine yourself. Examine your heart. Examine your life. Examine your ways. Examine your thoughts. Examine your deeds. This is that time of examination. Because the Holy Spirit of God surely does examine. And as the Holy Spirit of God examines, is that allow yourself, allow yourself, allow your soul, allow your spirit, allow your life to be examined by the Holy Spirit. And I shall show you things. And as you shall receive that which I show you, you shall be as a people that shall know deliverance in even that great way, because you shall turn from those things, you shall repent from those things, and you shall establish yourself in the ways of the Lord, and you and I shall walk firmly together. You are my sons and you are my daughters, and I shall never forsake you and I shall never leave you. But this is that time of cleansing, and the Holy Spirit of God cleanses, it purifies, it examines, it leads you to the very heart of Jesus. And so you desire that closer fellowship with the Lord, I say to you, let the Holy Spirit of God minister to you day by day, even hour by hour, because the Holy Spirit of God shall lead you to all truth. Do you like truth? Do you desire truth? Do you want to have truth? Do you want to be truthful? Surely you know the Word of God is true. There is no lie in my Word. And surely as you have my Word in you, that there is not that lie in you, but there is the truth of God in you. And so be that people of truth, and do not be even like the one who examined my son. And surely even as Pontius Pilate desired to know truth, saying, what is truth? What is truth? And my children, I say to you, he was standing in front of truth. Truth looking him in the eye. Truth standing before him, and he did not recognize the truth. My son, my daughters, I say to you, the Holy Spirit of God shall lead you to the truth, and you shall stand with the truth, you shall live with the truth, you shall be joined to the truth, and you shall be able to know the truth of God, and the truth shall set you free. My people, I say these things to you because the time is short. The hour is at hand, and there is that work to do. There is that work to do. Let the refining fires of the Holy Spirit work in your life. Let the refining fires of the Lord Jesus Christ move within you. And let my Holy Spirit be as marrow to your bone. Let it be as life that is within you. Because, my sons and daughters, I say to you, you shall do the works of Jesus. And even greater things shall you do, even in this time, even in this generation, as you will abide with the things of God. My children, I say to you, is that do not be as comfortable in the outer court, but be as a people that are willing even to go to the inner court, even be as willing to go into that holy of holies. But I speak and I say to you that surely You must be as a people that have clean hands and that pure heart. And this is that time of where I'm giving you that ability to change your garments, and so that you can come and stand in the presence of the Lord. And surely I shall hear you, and I shall know you, and great and mighty and excellent things shall be done. My children, surely there is much children's bread for you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. What do we hear the Spirit of God say? Beautiful prophetic word has come to us for these days from the heart of God. How closer can we get to the heart of God than to hear voices from His excellent glory? What did we hear the Spirit of God say? He promises so you can be transformed. That's it. If you're not willing to be transformed, I don't know you, brother, but I do know the Lord is delivering you. And as Jesus confronted the man that was a legion of demons, he was set free. So are you being set free. God loves you very much. He knows the hurt that you've been through. I don't know you. I don't even know your name. But God loves you, and He wants to transform you. He wants you to walk in freedom. And there is a renewal of your mind that is coming to you. Satan has captured your mind. You've been walking around for a number of years now, just like there's a tight band that is just around your head. A tight band that seems to get tighter and tighter and tighter. And the enemy has taken you, and he has manipulated you, and he has abused you. Satan has cursed you. And in the name of Jesus, we command that you be set free. You have no more authority in this man's life. You are no longer his property, because the Father has taken him out of your kingdom, which is the kingdom of darkness, and has taken him into the kingdom of his dear Son. Just let it go. Let it rip. That tight band is getting looser. You've even fainted, just unknown that you have just fainted. You have fainted, unknowingly, just fainted. And the enemy has told you, even to you, that he's going to take your life. And I come against that spirit of suicide in the name of Jesus. You spirit of suicide, I command that you come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I command that you come out in the name of Jesus. That spirit of suicide, come out in the name of Jesus. And the enemy has told you that you are religious, but you're not a believer. And you've not been able to discern the difference between being religious and what a believer is. And I come against that religious spirit now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's happening now. It's coming. For the next 36 hours, the next 36 hours, is it? You're going to be wrestling. 36 hours from now, you're going to walk in a freedom that you have never known. You have never known. There's someone here that you have sores in your mouth, especially sores on your tongue, and it's just been bothering you ever since you've been here. That's you. All right. Father God, I just ask that you touch and heal my brother now from these sores in his mouth that come and go. The sores are on his tongue. I command that these sores go in the name of Jesus. And I command that spirit of anxiety to depart. I command that spirit of fear to depart. I command that spirit of fear of failure to depart in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I thank you for touching and healing my brother now. from these sores in his mouth. And Lord wants you to know that you are not a failure in the eyes of the Lord. That you have tried to go into business, that you've attempted to do this and that and the other, and everything has just turned to ashes, turned to dust for you. But the Lord is giving you new beginnings. He's giving you new opportunity. And you'll be a man that will walk with caution and with wisdom. You walked in foolishness and with lack of wisdom. But now you'll walk in wisdom. And the Lord will direct you in where that you will know success, because whatever your hands put to do shall prosper. And you lived under a spirit of defeat and a spirit of poverty for 19 years. That there has been that poverty that has been about you. And the Lord is saying to you that he never meant for you to be a man of poverty, but he meant for you to be a man of success. And as you turn your ways to the Lord, and as you will abide with him and be that priest in your own household and be that man that repents and say, Lord, I shall follow you. I shall follow your ways and I shall know the blessings. And as you do this, the blessings shall come to you and you shall no longer be a man that is forsaken. But you shall be a man that is being undergirded by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's someone here that you've been having clots in your blood. Levitis. The Lord wants to touch and heal you. Father God, I thank you for healing my sister in Christ. I thank you for healing her. As you stood up, the Lord sovereignly, with his love, healed you. You'll know it. There's just a heat that's going through your body now. The Lord's doing a healing work from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He's also releasing you from discouragement. Just that spirit of discouragement. There's just been discouragement that's come to you in the last 3 years. It's just discouraging. And you've tried to handle it, but you had not really been able to handle this discouragement. You put on a good face and trust God. But underneath, there's been a real discouragement which has been painful to you. Painful to you. And the Lord is ministering to you now, and he's taking away that discouragement, because everything is going to be okay. And he wants you to encourage yourself in the things of the Lord. Many times you look to a pastor, you look to a visiting preacher, you look to an evangelist, you look to somebody to encourage you. He's saying to you that I am your encourager. My life is your encouragement. My word is your encouragement. And you shall encourage yourself in the things of the Lord. And in giving to you a ministry of encouragement, you shall be a woman that shall be able to minister encouragement to others. I was even talking about support groups here this afternoon, and we minister in support groups, but what the Lord is saying here is that there are so many people that are discouraged, women that are discouraged. He's going to use you in a singular way, even with the blessings of the Lord and with others, to be that woman of encouragement. And he gives to you the gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of discerning of spirits. And you and your husband shall be ministers of mercy, saith the Lord. Ministers of mercy. And this is the ministry the Lord has given you and your husband, is a ministry of mercy. Don't be afraid of the ministry of mercy. Don't be afraid. Be merciful as he is merciful. The Lord has shown his mercy to both of you. You tried hard. And now there will be an ease of ministry for both of you. An ease of ministry. Both of you are going to flow with an ease
like Jesus, flowed with an ease. Because you're going to do the works of Jesus. Because he's given you that ministry of mercy. The ministry of mercy. There's going to be a change of direction in both of your ministries. It's going to be directed toward mercy. It's not one, two, three, but it's mercy. Mercy is going to be flowing out of both of you. Godly mercy. And it'll be flowing to the hearts of others. And you shall be known as ministers of mercy. Well, you feel healed? Amen. There's somebody here that's, you're a victim of diabetes. There's more than one. Those of you that are borderline, doctor, give me a report of diabetes. Stand up. My brother, you are healed in the name of Jesus. The Lord has healed you this night. The Lord has also set you free from a situation or a problem that has been with you since 15, 16, 17 years of age. You're free. God has forgiven you. And he says, don't remember those things that I've forgotten. Can you do that? You can submit yourself to a doctor anytime that you want to. And you'll come. It's all right. Jesus Christ is a great physician. You've touched the hem of his garment, and you've been made whole. He's standing back there? All right. You want to be healed? Have you prayed the Lord to be healed? You're healed. How can I say this? Jesus said, arise and be healed. Jesus said, Jesus is the author of healing. And the Lord gives his healing word. And the word of God is healing virtue. The word of God heals souls. It heals our spirit. And the word of God heals our bodies. In the name of Jesus, you're healed. Amen. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Episcopal Church. God can do whatever he wants to do. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I knew I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Like I've shared before, because after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, there was a crowd of people there, and they'd come up to me and they'd say, OSG, OSG, OSG. And I'd say, what's this OSG? And they said, Order of the Silly Grins. Now look at some of you and you got silly grins. It's kind of nice to have the silly grins, isn't it? Amen. You know, if they'll identify me as somebody who's close to the Lord with a silly grin, man, I'll have that silly grin. Yeah, you got a silly grin right now. Amen. We're not going to be embarrassed with these silly grins. I'm excited, aren't you? Yeah, we don't need to be down in the dumps. No. He picks us out of the dump. He doesn't put us there. He sets us into the right places. And praise God, this is where we're supposed to be traveling, is on the higher ways of the things of God. When you're sick, you can't travel in the higher ways. When you were sick, you couldn't even go to church. Who wants to be sick? Well, God gave me this sickness because it's unto the Lord. My goodness, if that was the way to get close to the Lord, well, then we'd all be sick, wouldn't we? Dr. Null wouldn't have a job. He'd be a doctor or something else. He'd be teaching in school or something. But he wants us whole. And that's what all this ministry is about. It's restoring souls so we can be made whole. We get fragmented. And that's what I want to be talking about here tonight, is not necessarily a fragmented soul, but how he wants us to be brought back together. I heard this in some word here, something that was said here, and it just blessed me. Is that I need confirmation. When the Lord gives me something, I kind of like to get a confirmation on things. And so I listen to what the prophecies say, and I listen to what Glenn has to say, and I listen to what it says out here. And
And you know, the Lord's always so faithful, he just gives a little something and say, aha, that's it. And Jane says, well, what are you going to talk about? Well, I think this is what the Lord wants me to do. But, you know, I just, you know, I don't know for sure until I somehow just get up here and then start doing something. And then the Holy Ghost said, well, you're on the right track. So I'm going to give you the right track stuff. Are you ready? Amen. Well, Father God, I thank you for the God that you are. Lord, I just pray for the time that we have here that your word will surely cleanse us and purify us. And Father, I desire to be that holy of holies man. And Lord, you know that I've not always been a holy of holies man, but have been. But Father, you want us to be in your presence. And you have so much to share, so much to reveal. Lord, you want to tell us about the state of the nation. You don't want to keep us in the dark. And Father, people are coming to you concerning schools and the office of the presidency and the vacancies that are coming up in the legislature and the national and even on the state end, Father God. And Lord, you want us to be responsible citizens in all of these things. You want us to be like watchmen because you are our God. And so, Father, as I give this word here today, Lord, may it be with your revelation. As your word says, is it your Holy Spirit is the spirit of revelation. And Lord, you don't want us to go from this place just doing business the same old way, acting the same old way, talking the same old way. But, Father, you brought us here to be transformed. And, Lord, even as your Son Jesus came up out of the grave, he does stay around the mouth of the grave, but he went forth on the road to Emmaus. And the people were looking for him at the mouth of the grave, but he was no longer there. And so, Father God, may we be as a people that are so changed, they were no longer hanging around the mouth of the grave, looking back to the things that were. But, Father God, may we be an Emmaus Road people, looking forward to the things that are, allowing ourselves to be transformed by your life and by your word and by your power and by your love, and so that people will look upon us and they will see the living Christ in us, because then we will do the greater things that you want us to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you ready for that? Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua. Time is so precious, and the Lord always has so much to do. The Lord will never run out of things to do. And if we're a people that are in tune with the things of God, we will never run out of things to do. But we'll not be pushed, we'll not be hurried, we'll not be perplexed, we'll not be stressed. We will do those things that the Christ tells us to do. The hour is somewhat late, but the Lord has things he wants to do. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, for the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's a promise to children of the kingdom. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous.
For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have, what? Success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written, for there you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, this is a tremendous portion of Scripture, and we know that this is the handing of the baton from Moses to Joshua. Is that Moses had been the deliverer, been the leader, and God had commissioned him sometime before to bring the children out of Egypt and on into the land of promise. But we know that Moses only got to the very border, to the boundary of the promised land, and God the Father told him, says Moses, you will not be taking the children on into Israel because you struck the rock rather than speaking to the rock. And so Moses died. And so when there's a death of the leader, that somehow or another there's confusion, that there's uncertainty, there's fear, there's all kinds of things that can come into a nation of people. But God had already chosen Joshua. And so here we see that there's a change taking place, a change of command, a change of order, a change of things. Joshua is now commissioned to take the children across the Jordan and onto the promised land. But God has some instructions for Joshua. He says, be strong. Be courageous. And he didn't tell him only once, but he told him three times. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. In other words, he's telling Joshua, hang in there. Things are not going to be easy, but hang in there, because you will know success. And this is what the Spirit of God is speaking to the church today. You're not failures, you are successful. You're not the hindermost part, you're the head. You're not beneath, you're on top. And we need to have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of spirit as to who we are in Christ and what we are in Christ. And so many believers have become religious, doing the religious things. If we pile our hair on our head in a certain way, well then, we're the true believers. I don't have a watch or a ring on my wrist or finger, then I am a true believer. If I carry my Bible close to my heart, then really I am a true believer. And those that don't carry their Bibles close to their heart, they're not like me. God is bringing change into the church. We've been hearing about sons and daughters of God, manifest sons of God. And it's not how you pile your hair on your head. It's not whether your sleeves are long or short. It makes no difference whether you have a watch or a ring or whatever. It's the attitude of the heart. He does not look at your wrist. He looks at your heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks to the inner man. And you're beautiful in the eyes of the Lord, sister. You're a beautiful daughter of God. And the crown of life is on your head. We need encouragement this day. You can always find discouragement. But where's the encouragement? We can tear down. but so few of us know how to build up. We say we have the gift of discerning of spirits, but we really have the gift of criticism. We're confused as to who we are in Christ and what we are in Christ. There's a new order coming. And when we use the new word, new order, somehow or another, antennas go up, oh, new age. No, it's the order of the Lord. We've been talking about boundaries. We've been talking about parameters. We've been talking about stakes. We've been talking about so many things here these days. It's of God. He is putting His church into His order. The church is in too much disorder. And He's taking it and He's beginning to work in you to bring some order. Order into our lives. Order into our spirit. We are being ordered of the Lord. Oh, it's fun to come to a camp meeting such as this. It's wonderful. You feel like you're on a honeymoon, but the thing is, you're going to go home. And you're going to have to put all these things that you have heard into practice. And all this honeymoon stuff, oh, that's great, and you'll not forget it. But you start putting God's word to work, and you're going to run into a little opposition with yourself, with your own flesh, with the devil. You say, oh, why did I ever get into this? Man, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I thought everything was just going to be A-okay. Man, my life was just going to sail right down between the lines. Little did I know. Little did I know that Joseph principle was going to come into play. I've not always been a pastor. Living in Alaska and worked for the FAA, and man, I was upward bound. But you know, God had called me to the ministry when I was about 19 years old. I got saved. I made the mistake of going to a Presbyterian church one day. And the church was empty. It was on a Saturday. And I stood behind the great carved walnut pulpit, cavernous church. And the Spirit of God said, Larry, I've called you to be a shepherd of the body of Christ. You know, the only thing I could think of was missionary barrels, poundings, maybe sent to Africa. Oh, no. No, 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 no. And I spent 30 years, well, 25 years running away from God and the call of God. I ran. I did everything that I could. I went to the University of Texas. I did this and I did that and I pursued a career and you know, I was in charge of myself, I thought. We had our beautiful home in Alaska sitting on the side of a hill. And, you know, God approved of us living there. He said, oh, people will be coming to the mountain of the Lord. And
this is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.